Welcome to Ready, Set, Real Estate, where we will help empower and educate you on many different aspects of real estate, finance, and investing. Each week, we will expand your knowledge and uncover hidden truths. We will break down real-world scenarios and study actual how-to strategies. Anyone can buy real estate, but together we'll ensure you make smart real estate investment decisions. Now, here's your host, award-winning author, international speaker, and real estate educator, Lisa Gillette. Welcome to Ready, Set, Real Estate.
Happy Wednesday. That's the remix version. Oh my goodness. I know. I'm touching buttons as usual. Shout out to those of you who are streaming on Instagram, IG Live. I'm excited to do this. I'm doing something different here, playing with my backgrounds and everything. Also, I'm excited to share that we have the Ready, Set, Real Estate beanies. Woohoo! So appropriate for the weather. So appropriate. It's actually cold in my office. I've got the heater on. I've got a blanket under here. Yeah, it's a whole nother weather. I'm excited. So listen up. There's been a lot going on with the market. Oh, I was on a webinar yesterday that was talking about the upcoming changes in landlord tenant laws. This is the Tenant Protection Act that is set to expire March 31st, but there's a new one that comes into play effective April 1st and has additional rules. And it's really very interesting how they've carved out just a little bit for single family residential properties or single family homes that are exempt to those rules. You've got to consult an attorney regarding the carve outs, right? The exceptions or the exclusions when it comes to dealing with landlord and tenant law here in California. All right. That's what's been going on. You know, I'm still in school. I'm in finals. I've been studying for finals. I committed to come on to the show today. Hey, Cindy, she's on IG. Good seeing you. I was just thinking about you. You know what I was thinking? I had this random thought of, I wonder if you'd come on, but I was like, but you'd be at work. So I guess it's like tuning into the radio and you're like secretly watching or listening. She's like, yeah, hey, watching you while at work. Gotta hear my girl. Thank you. Today's topic, we are going to be talking about, let me throw it up here real quick. So, a lot going on. So we'll talk about unlocking the secrets to setting your home sales price. Some of you have decided to like hold off on selling because of what's been going on with rates and the market. And I thought this would be a good time to revisit this. We're in first quarter. Cal half a down payments are back. Different programs are back. Rates are starting to ease up a little bit. So it might be an attractive conversation. On a side note, on a more serious note, some of you are dealing with some challenges, right? Partition sales. There's new laws regarding partition sales. That means if you've got joint owners, co-owners, that type of thing, and you want out, you want to sell, or the other person wants to sell, how does that work? I'll talk about that on the next show. We'll talk about some things that come up like, hey, if somebody, you know, did not, I want to sell the property, but there's someone else on the loan and they never paid the mortgage. And do I have to split the proceeds with them? That kind of stuff like that. It comes up. It's the nature of the business when you're dealing with property and the contracts. It's really like, I guess, contract law a little bit. Real property law is really what it is. All right, disclaimers before I jump into all that fun stuff. Of course, you know, let me do this. Of course, press one lets me know you're here. Press two lets me know you shared it. And disclaimers, of course, is the information provided on this show should not be considered legal or tax advice. Please seek legal and tax advice from reputable licensed professionals. I will remind you again, as I talk about the tips, because I'm going to mention step up basis as a bonus tip. And that has to do with capital gains tax, like, you know, when you bought it, when your kids inherited, or when your grandparents bought it and your parents inherited and then you inherited, that whole thing. Very interesting conversation as it relates to profits, gains and losses, capital gains tax, all that fun stuff. So very, very important to talk to your team of advisors regarding your unique situation. Got it? Good. In the meantime, I want to shout out to our show sponsors, of course. Got to give love to our show sponsors. Today's show sponsor is Omnis Property Solutions. We'll be right back after the sponsor break.
Do you have properties that need to be maintained? For professional services that guarantee your property will stay safe and secure, Omnis Property is the team you want by your side. As a company, we pride ourselves on our best-in-class professionals, equipped with the latest technology for all your end-to-end property preservation needs. That means that from start to finish, our expert team can handle everything from accurate assessments to preservation projects of all sizes. Save money and time by working with leading experts that understand your needs and are committed to premier service. Get started today by contacting us for your project estimate. Visit www.omnispreservation.com or call 310-957-9132.
Oh, awesome. Classroom style today. Put myself here in the box. If you're watching on IG, you might want to pan the phone camera, do it that way so you can get a wider view of it. Definitely, I like to use notes here in the comments section. So if you have specific questions, we can touch on that as we go along. You know how we do it. Classroom style today. Got a nice, cool presentation for you. So unlock the secrets to setting your home sales price. We are on What Yours Truly, episode 237 is where we are. 237. Let's move on here. So tip number one. Know your market. Know the local market. Understand the local market. I'm reading verbatim off the slides here, and then I'll give you my pointers. But off the slides here, reading verbatim. So listen, understanding the local market is essential to setting the right price for your home. So research the prices of recently sold homes in your area and compare them to your home's features and conditions. Now, I like to add here that you should ask a real estate professional, so consult with a broker or agent for a report of comparable sales in your area. Here's the thing about comps. Don't just look at the solds. You want to look at the expireds, the withdrawn listings, the pending or active under contract, because you want to look at how much time they've been on the market before they went under contract. You want to also look at maybe something was priced too high and they had to withdraw it, or it expired, meaning it just sat on the market with no response, no offers, no activity. Kind of look into the details. Sometimes a lot of that too has to do with not just pricing, but I think marketing is a key thing. What I remind real estate agents is that you are a marketer first. You are a marketer first. And then who so happens to be an agent dealing with the sales transaction, right? With the transactional side of the business. And marketing is key. Presentation, how you present that property. I love with technology, with the involvement of drone, that we're able to feature like surrounding areas, the city, if it's relatively close to a shopping center, all the things that are important as we talk about the valuation or what is attractive to a particular property. So know your market. So that's number one. Number two, in fact, I'm going to do my five, right? It's not like a top five. But some five things for you to consider. So consider your home's unique features. Number two, right? We're on two. You definitely should mention any upgrades that you included in the property. If you opened up a wall, oh my gosh, that reminds me. Speaking of upgrades, please go look at the last episode where I mentioned, in fact, we talked about the new laws. We talked about the new laws going into effect for 2024 as it relates to sellers' disclosures. And if there were any upgrades or remodel, repairs, renovations to the property, and it was more than $500, and if you're in California, a lot of this work is more than just $500 in labor and materials, that means you are expected to comply with the California state requirement to hire a contractor. ERGJ is in the building on IG. You are required to hire a contractor. So with that being said, make sure you have those receipts, records, and you have the contact. The reason why this is getting uglier or more, I would say more restrictive for sellers as it relates to upgrades, renovations, remodel work, is because ADUs are a more popular thing. And those ADU builds have to be compliant with city code, right? So a lot of buyers are either going to inherit a lot of renovations that were not permitted. So this is how the industry, I would say the state, is cracking down on requiring on disclosures. That's one of the things. I'm glad ERGJ says, oh, it's Wednesday. You better believe it, it's Wednesday. And that's a good thing to know that it's Wednesday. Although someone was like, you know, hey, I didn't see you come on last week. Listen, your girl, I'm in very serious study mode. So I want to say I love you all. I missed you all. But you know, here we're in this together because we have a greater purpose, right? Class of 2025. And my eyes are set on the bar of 2025 for California, California State Bar. So that is a lot. In the meantime, I did miss you all and I wanted to commit to the show schedule. So I'm here. I'm here to talk about unlocking those secrets on how to set your sales price, of course. Let me leave that right here. That's not in the way. So you all can see it and keep up. So as we're talking about upgrades, that's a California thing in terms of receipts, records, license, and permits. And if it's more than $500, you've got to be able to deliver the contact to the contractor that did the work. That's a big deal. I do want you to also consider, see, when I speak with a lot of my clients, I talk about my strategy. I tend to build marketing around my avatar, ideal clients, right? There is a saying in marketing that if you're marketing or targeting everyone, then you are not marketing, you're not targeting to anyone. So if you feel like your marketing strategy or how you sell that particular property is just for everyone out there, whoever wants to buy it, whoever wants to qualify, then they can come on out, right? But that is not true in marketing, not true in marketing. And if you've dealt with anything on selling a product, you know that not everyone is for your product. Same thing with your property. Not everyone is going to want a two-story home. Not everyone is going to want that pool home. Not everyone is looking for a condo or a corner unit, an end unit, or, you know, tri-levels. Not everyone is looking for that. So it's very important to think about your avatar. Who is your target buyer? Is it an owner-occupant? Is it an investor? Is it a developer? When we start to think about things like lot sizes and zoning, I deal a lot, especially in California, because a lot of the homes that are turning are in some of the older communities. And so what that means is big money, big opportunity for developers. Because if you watch the last show, we talked about the Infrastructure Act, where there's tons of money. There's billions of dollars available. There's billions of dollars available for revitalization, infrastructure, affordable housing. And if you are sitting on a property that's, you know, residential, residential, you know, 2 to 4 units, then it becomes a little bit more attractive. Not only that, but Governor Newsom, just to recap, if you've been on the show or connected with me for the last couple years, but Governor Newsom, I think this happened in 2022, he did away with restrictive zoning as it relates to residential units R1 no longer means that you're restricted to only one unit on the property, which is why we have this conversation of ADUs. Again, if you or someone you know who has got a single family and an ADU and is deciding to sell those separately, because guess what? It is now legal to sell your converted garage separate from your property. Ooh, California. Ooh, 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 ooh. Oh, California. Oh man, California is getting wild out here. Consideration number two, is your area best suited to visit or live in? So what do I mean by that? Areas like Texas, Houston, you know, out of areas where the properties are large, right? 2,500 square feet, you're sitting on an acre. That means the space between you and your neighbors and the town and the community centers are probably like far and wide. Walking is not as attractive as being in somewhere like in an LA where you can walk down to the beach, you can walk down to the nearby park, you can, you know, jump on take an Uber to a quick cafe down the way. It's not just as easy. So is your place or area that you've invested or purchased in, is it more suitable for someone who is going to experience outdoor living in their home, where the size of the home and the amenity and features of the home is that more important, because people are going to be spending a lot more time at home than they are spending outdoors. So those are things to consider. All right. I'm feeling good about this. I'm rolling here. Number three, price competitively. What do I mean by that? Your sentimental value does not translate to the market value for buyers. So pricing your home too high can turn off potential buyers, while pricing it too low can leave money on the table. So research the competition and price your home competitively. Here's what I appreciate about the internet, and I'm not dissuaded or turned off by when, you know, my clients come to me and say, well, I saw this home, it's selling for this on Zillow or RedfinRealtor.com, Trulia, all these other third-party websites. No, it doesn't bother me, right? Not at all. Why? Because it's good, because then it makes my work easier, because then we can really compare. Get the sentimental out, because you feel like it's your home. It's much more special, but I did this. And so it's better than the house on the block that sold, or it's not as good. So at least we can have this more realistic conversation of, well, how does your house compare to that? Let me go back. How does your house compare to that? And here's another thing. There is this psychology of buying. You do this, right? You know, when you're shopping and you're looking to purchase, you're looking to get a deal. Don't be offended if you are on the selling side and that buyer is looking to get a deal too. So be careful that a buyer's perceived value also determines if the price is reflective of the quality of that property, the condition of that property. Is it priced too low? Oh, must be a fixer, must need a lot of work. There's something wrong with it. How many times have you thought about that when something was priced too low, for example, cheap, and you've said to yourself, must not be worth it? Or if it's priced too high, that means you've left a lot of buyers thinking, oh, that's too expensive. They wouldn't consider my offer. I mentioned this on the last show too. It's really interesting that people have, not everyone negotiates. They don't even give it a shot. I remember when I first got into this business, Cindy will tell you, I was pretty bold in some of my offers and counter offers. Yeah, I was pretty bold back then. I noticed people are not as, unless they're investors, because investors come from a whole different mindset when it comes to this. But owner-occupant buyers, I notice, are not as daring in terms of their offer. They're not as daring. So you want to make sure both sides You're realistic. So everyone's looking at the price. And let me say this. This is something I also do. I've started to do this because I know more people are relying on the third-party sites. I ask my clients and I communicate with them about this to not allow Zillow or the third-party websites to create a valuation or a Zestimate or an estimate of their property. That is, you see that number where it's published right below the asking price. So you're asking $500, the Zestimate says $465. People are like, oh, you're overpriced. So there's a way on our end that in our system, by way of contracts and disclosure agreements, we can authorize that those third-party sites do not, and you'll notice this on some of properties and some of the high-end properties, they do not have the estimate activated next to the price. And that's because, again, we're talking about the perceived value. If you look online and you start making offers based on what you see online, and then you wonder why you're not getting accepted or you're getting outbid, it's because you are using a wrong metric system, right? Let's go back to comps. And then there's things like the pandemic, which no one could ever factor. There's no comparable report that would have said that these houses would have sold as much and high and quickly as they did. So very important to market watch when it comes to pricing competitively, factoring everything that's going in the market. Number four, how we doing here? So far, so good. Make sure you press one, lets me know you're here. Press two, lets me know you shared it. Sharing is caring, all right? So two, hire a professional appraiser. Hire a professional appraiser. It may be worth the six. I think they're now up to $700-$800. They're doing pretty well in California. There's big because there's a shortage. Hello, there's a shortage of quality appraisers. There is a shortage, and there's a big push and initiative to see diversity and inclusion and equity in the real estate industry. So a lot more. We should see an increase of a lot more women applicants and individuals of color. Again, representation is key in every facet of the industries that we have available to us, especially in California, because we've got such a diverse population here. And I can appreciate that. I can appreciate that. So with that, I'm saying here, it may be worth it. Or essentially, we're shooting in the dark. We're going based on reports, market data, and we're shooting here in the dark to nail a price. It doesn't hurt to hire a professional appraiser. And what will happen, right? What's different? A couple things. Do not confuse the appraisal report with what you can give this to the buyer and you can say, well, hey, you can use this for your loan. Not gonna work. That's not how that works. This is for you and for your purposes in terms of valuation, because guess what? The lender is going to, if it's a finance transaction, the lender, oh, that's a great disclaimer. If it's a finance transaction, not a cash deal, if the lender is going to be involved in financing this property, then they are going to order their own appraisal. Their own appraisal does a couple things. It serves as eyes, their eyes, by way of the appraiser, comes out to the property, notates the condition, takes pictures, makes remarks, and completes this entire report based on guidelines, housing guidelines, quality condition, market conditions. If they do a really great job, they're very descriptive. They'll say whether the market is hot, whether the market is cooling, what's happening in the area. How does this property compare? Were there upgrades? So this gives you an opportunity to connect with the appraiser on things that you've done, things that you've improved. Please note here, this is important, that although it's called an appraisal report, it is an opinion of value. It is an opinion of value. Here's a little contract secret here. Contract secret. The purchase agreement has been revised, and not everyone took notice to this. But you, as a seller, are not required to receive a copy of the appraisal if it's a conventional loan. Right? So you may not know how much that property actually appraised for in comparison to the offer you accepted. Let's give an example. You accepted an offer for $400,000. The property appraised for $460,000. The buyer's using a conventional loan. I, perhaps negotiating, representing you as a seller, you may say, well, how much did it appraise for? The reality is, because it's in a conventional loan and because it's an opinion of value, it's not considered a report. So it doesn't fall under the contract terms that says the buyer is required to deliver all reports, investigations done on that property, including appraisals. Now, when does this exception, when is there an exception? I'm glad you asked. Of course you'd ask. What do you mean? What do you mean I don't get the appraisal report? But my friend sold their property and they said they got the appraisal report. Yes. And it's more than likely they got the report on one or two things. Just on good faith, right? On just the other side wanting to show you, hey, this is what it appraised for. I'm paying exactly what it's worth. That's one reason. The other required reason is if it's one of two types of loans, an FHA insured loan, you are required to get that report, or a VA loan, you are also required to get that report. Why? Because those types of reports actually have case numbers and they are funded and insured by those government-sponsored enterprises. Different rules apply. Go ahead and bookmark, timestamp this section right here so you can come back to it and understand when you should get an appraisal, when you actually get a copy of the appraisal from the buyer in the transaction, and when those exceptions or exclusions apply. Okay, cool. Moving along. We're doing great right now. Number five, our Love Enterprises has joined on IG. How you doing? Make sure you shout. You just drop a comment in the chat below there. Appreciate you all for tuning in. I'm really enjoying this live thing here that we can do on IG. Number five, be open to negotiations. Know your price, know your bottom line, know the bottom line of the price. Very important here. Why? Because buyers will likely try to negotiate a lower price. So be open to it. That's the reality of negotiating. That's the reality of selling a product. You put yourself out there and someone's going to try to get it for a better deal. Not necessarily less either. They may want some other things in there. So let's also be mindful of things such as credits, seller credits, buyer credits, that whole thing. Be mindful of those things. But I don't want you to sell yourself short. So it's important to know your bottom, like absolute, like, Lisa, this is, right, the least, the lowest I'm going to go. And I've had to have those tough conversations, especially when we were in the middle of the market shifting this last quarter in terms of rates. We felt it was felt a little bumpy, but guess what? You've got to stick to your guns. At the end of the day, it's still your property and it's still on your terms. That's the great reason for being able to work with somebody that is guiding you, coaching you, but you're still making the decisions here, not your agent. Your agent should be making the decisions for you. They're here guiding you, right? But you're still quarterbacking this thing that ultimately you're gonna, we can talk about what plays to run, right? My little Super Bowl analogy. We can talk about what plays to run, but ultimately when you get on the field, we're in the middle of it, you're gonna make the call and say, yes, I'm going to counter or I'm going to accept. I'm going to offer this credit or I'm not. I'm going to fix this or I'm not. It's the bottom line. That's what it comes down to. So those are good points to consider. The other thing is very, very important is don't make a decision on an offer without knowing your bottom line price or how much you actually get. So consider, what percentage of the accepted offer do you actually keep? What percentage of the accepted offer do you, right here, I'm in this section here, do you get to keep after the transactional costs? Consideration two, request an estimated seller net sheet from your settlement team. That's your escrow, your title, your agent, mortgage broker. Ask them to help determine withholdings. Working with your settlement team, when I say withholdings, there's also this thing called taxes. Capital gains, right? Withholding and other things that you are subject to, because that can be a significant amount of your takeaway from this. Are the taxes. Taxes do have to get addressed and paid. There's no way around it, all right? And so as we're talking about profits and you getting paid, let's talk about the cost basis. Might be new for some of you in terms of hearing this term, cost basis. So it's just referring to the original cost of the property adjusted for depreciation. And depending on whether the property is sold or inherited, it can affect your gain or your loss. So this is my reminder again, speak to a tax advisor about the step-up basis and how or whether it applies. Let me just highlight this little important part here at the bottom. It's in red for those of you who are watching our video. Shout out to those of you who are streaming on our podcast. Again, our podcast platform on Spotify also allows video. So it'd be really cool if you're able to watch. If not, I'm here reading it for you. Highlighted as an important thing as a disclaimer in red is properties held in joint tenancy or community property have different treatment of the step-up basis. What's really cool in a state like California, only cool because California taxes us up the yin yang. So it's great when we can get exemptions or really cool things. But if your property is held in a community property, usually spouses, right? And one spouse passes away, you purchased the property originally at, let's say, $200,000. Your spouse passes away. That means you get the step-up basis. You get the step-up basis as a surviving spouse, meaning now the value is stepped up to the current value of the property, not the $200,000 that you originally purchased or the cost of purchase, which is the original basis. But now, if you sell the property or your children inherit the property, that means the new step-up value, let's say they passed away, property went from $200,000 to $600,000. Now the new basis is $600,000. So you're not paying on the gain of $600,000 minus $200,000, which would be what? $400,000. There is that exemption as well for married couples and whatnot. So $250,000 for singles, $500,000 for married couples. So be mindful. All that matters when you're talking about taxes. All that matters. So I gave a little example here when those things come into play. Consider it, grandparents purchase property. We're seeing this a lot. So that's why those propositions that had come into play in terms of the inheritance, gift inheritance, what's the exclusions, what's the exemptions, before you're adding kids to title and transferring all that kind of stuff, be mindful of how that's going to affect the original basis in the time of selling or having to deal with the estate planning of that property. So as you can see, real estate is a wealth generating tool. We all did, this is not a secret. And it's very important to have your team guide you along the way about this. It's very rare when I hear people talk about step-up basis and stuff like this, but do know that this is a real thing and it does affect your bottom line depending if you are inheriting or selling that particular property, all right? So when we have examples of grandparents, parents, and then your children inheriting it, all that matters in terms of the step-up basis and the original cost basis, especially because we're talking about the boomers who, what, in the 80s, they're in their 80s right now, plus 70 to 80s, and we're watching this transition or this happening in terms of transference of property and wealth. And when we deal with the, I say, estate planning part of the real estate, disposing or the disposition or acquisition of the real estate, then we're dealing with some heavy topics in terms of the numbers. Again, my little disclaimer, talk to your financial team, your tax advisor, and your legal team regarding your specific situation. All right. With that being said, listen, I feel like I nailed it. Oh my gosh, all this juice and real estate gem in 35 minutes or less. Come on. This is awesome. Five tips we nailed today of how to set your sales price. If you have any questions specifically to your situation, you can send me an email, lisa@lasuperagent.com. lisa@lasuperagent.com. Call or text 323-488-3265. That is my direct number. Don't be shy about using it. I'm here for you. I am here for you. Family, friends, colleagues, I'm here. Your girl is here. Don't forget to get your Ready, Set, Real Estate beanie. Visit lasuperagent.com for the link. DM me, text me, and say, yes, I want one. $20 for the beanies. So I am excited about them because you know me. We got to represent. We just got to represent. With that being said, we'll see you next week on another information-packed episode on Ready, Set, Real Estate. I appreciate you. I love you. Thank you for your continued love and support. And we'll see you next week. Take care, y'all. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Ready, Set, Real Estate podcast with Lisa Gillette, the LA Super Agent. Please like, subscribe, and share LA Super Agent everywhere on your favorite podcast.